Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Grateful. You keep sending stuff to us. You see something wretched and you send it to idea@wretched.org. Can't tell you how grateful I am for that. Would not find so much that you send when you think wretched. Think idea@wretched.org. Or if you would like to communicate questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, 877-282-2337. Although, Jimmy, I think we might be changing that number.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, we might. Well, I don't want to confuse things because we're confused enough here. But I think we've got a wretched number where it's like 8-something-something wretched. Oh. So instead of the 282 beep, and
oh no, that means we'll never get to play this again.
1-877-282 beep.
Could have him re-record it.
1-844-WRETCHED.
That's what it would sound like today. Basically, please send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks via text or leave a voicemail. That was your cue.
Okay. So
you are so Pavlovian. If I don't say the numbers, it's like the bell doesn't ring and you don't salivate.
You have me trained. This is from Anonymous. Dot, I'd like to hear your thoughts on age gaps in relationships where the woman is significantly older than the man, say by 5 or even 10 years. How should Christians approach this biblically?
Well, you got to find a Bible verse that says you cannot marry somebody who does not share your birth date. So what is the gap? Well, I would say the Bible doesn't say there is a gap. So where would I slot this? Under the column of wisdom. There's just some stuff that you need to think through. And I will say this up front, and I'll say it at the end. You can't think this through by yourself because you are going to have a clouded vision. You like that person. You maybe have fallen in love with that person and you're going, well, you know, 30 years, that's like nothing in the span of 6,000 years, which is the age of the earth. Wait a second. You want to think this through, not because it would be a sin, but because there are just some practical things. And I know, and I understand. I understand. Well, wait a second. Why is it that you would say maybe a 5-year gap is okay for some, but not another? It's because of the practicality of it. It might be temporary, but for instance, an 18-year-old and a 23-year-old, that's a big difference at that age. A 55 and a 60-year-old, no, they pretty much, they should have most stuff sorted. So it's not going to be as big of a deal. Wisdom must be applied. Engage loved ones. Talk to those who do have bigger gaps and ask them, how many challenges did you experience? How difficult was it? Were there benefits to this? Would you recommend it? Would you have dinner with us to get to know us, to see what you think about our maturity levels? So all of those components, all of those questions, they've got to be answered with a whole lot of wisdom, but can't make a law where there is no law. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Isaac. Todd, I'm uncertain about my salvation and feel convicted about willfully sinning and being ashamed of Jesus. My emotions and desires to love Jesus and glorify God are not very strong. I want these desires to grow and not be ashamed of Christ, but if I'm not saved, how can I experience godly sorrow over my sin?
There was one word in there that I'd key in on, and that is the word want. It's the better question when examining yourself to see if you're in the faith is not how am I doing, how am I being, but what do I want to be? How do I want to be living? What are my desires? I want to be more godly. Oh, I'm not godly like I should be. Hey, that sounds like Romans 7, doesn't it? Focus more on what you would want to be as opposed to what you are. Now, that is not to suggest that you shouldn't examine that to some degree, but the heavier emphasis should be on your desire to want to be. When that desire doesn't exist, your email indicates you have a desire. You even expressed it with the word want to be holy. I want to be obedient. That is a most excellent sign. That is the cry of the Christian heart. The individual who doesn't want the, sin's bad. Got it. That person we should be concerned about. You're concerned about it. It is one of the more sure signs that you are saved. Be careful that you don't forget about progressive sanctification. You're never going to be perfectly holy until you enter eternity. Then you will be made perfectly glorious with your new body that will last for eternity, the flesh. Remember, you get one new nature. You don't get two. You don't got an old nature and a new nature. I don't think anybody's a heretic when they use old and new nature. But I just think that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. You are a new you. Your old mind gone, replaced with the mind of Christ. You say, then why do we sin? World, flesh, devil. That's why when you read Paul talking about the struggle with sin, he doesn't talk about his old nature. He doesn't describe people, well, they're struggling with their old nature. It's flesh. It's your body that is not yet glorified. It wants sin. That's what you're at war against. And it's going to be progressive. So make sure that while you do look forward and say, whew, I sure continue to fall short, make sure you look back. Hey, okay, I'm not reading the Bible as much as I should, but I'm reading it some, and I didn't used to even like the thing at all. Okay, be encouraged by those things. So you can examine how you're progressing, but make sure that you're looking more at what you want to be as opposed to what you currently are. Might I also suggest you must be in a local church. You must be in a local church. So that people can help you through this. When you go to somebody and say, you know, I don't know that I'm a Christian. Are you joking? I see you in the nursery. I see how you serve. You know what? I got to tell you, when you first got here, you were cranky. Now your disposition so much better. Let others encourage you, exhort you, counsel you. That is the beauty of the local church. And if you're not in it, you are simply missing out. And I was thinking about that even this morning as I was thinking about Kamala Harris. She becomes the president. Look out, Christian. Look out. This woman has an anti-Christian history. Look out. And we should not find refuge in our local church because it's getting increasingly hostile from our government. But it's what Jesus wants for us. It is what he wants for us. I got to tell you, Greg Gifford, he was at Alpharetta Bible Church last Sunday. It was such a joyful sermon that the local church is the place for soul care. And he continued to make the point, you're just missing out. You're just don't, you got to be a part of it. Now, let's just say Kamala doesn't win, assuming, of course, she's going to get the nomination. I don't know how you give your delegates away like that, but at any rate, let's just say she doesn't win. You still need to be in a local church because Jesus wants you there and it is best for you. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Jonathan. Todd, if someone is a vegan, a CrossFit enthusiast, and a KJV onlyist, which one are they going to talk about first?
It's going to be tough. You're probably going to have a lot of traffic at the gate of your mouth. Ah, I got to tell you about it. There are some things that we just love to tell. All right, let me ask you a question along those regards. When you're talking to somebody, where are you at in filtering what wants to come flying out of your mouth about you? So, somebody says to you, Hey, I just got back from North Carolina. Well, I was just in South Carolina. We have a tendency to just, you know, want to me. Where are you at in fighting that urge? I'm not perfect at it, I promise you. But the Lord is working on me with that. Not perfect, but helping me to just zip it and not just feel the need to me. So if you're a CrossFitter, KJV only, or a vegan, careful. 877-282-2337.
Where would you rank me in that regard?
Are you a vegan?
No. Just in
being a meat monster?
Yeah.
Huh. You know what, Jimmy? I'm going to tell you something. I think maybe I've shared this with you before. Do you want to know what I'd like to do with you?
No, I don't think so.
No, it doesn't involve beating you to a pulp.
Oh, okay.
That's not... I want to go on a road trip with you.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
I think it would be fun.
Don't let me drive, though.
And then I should be able to answer your question if you're a me monster or not.
Okay.
Because that's usually the environment where you can get the sense, how many miles till we get to the Wisconsin Dells home, please? I don't think you're a me monster.
Yeah.
In that regard. Are you mindful of that, though? And I don't mean that in a Goldie Hawn or John Kabat-Zinn kind of way.
I try to be. Sometimes I catch myself too late.
Yeah, okay, but fair enough. Yeah. It is something that we all need to work on, because let's be honest, until we get that glorified body, this is Wretched Radio.
Are you terrified of sharing the gospel? Do you feel unprepared to witness in this sin-sick culture? Well, just know that you're not alone, which is why we're pointing you to Terrified 2, a powerful DVD resource that equips you with the tools that Jesus himself used to fulfill the Great Commission. It's packed with engaging teaching and real-life examples that will teach you how to humbly help others understand their need for a Savior, proclaim the gospel of forgiveness through Christ, and to call people to repentance and faith. We'll give you answers to tough questions and common objections as well. Terrified 2 really does take the fear out of evangelism by showing you the biblical model for witnessing. It's the same approach used by Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody, Ray Comfort, and others. Don't let your fear or terror hold you back anymore. Get Terrified 2 today along with the study guide at wretched.org. That's wretched.org, and gain the confidence you need to share the gospel with anyone, even complete strangers.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, I've been thinking, you and I, we're kind of like kindred spirits, aren't we? We both love digging into God's Word, unpacking meaty theological truths, and sharing the life-changing message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like we're on this adventure together, and I know what you're probably thinking, oh no, here it comes. But hear me out. We've got this radical goal of reaching millions all over the world. I'm talking about a global spiritual revolution. And you know we can't do it alone. So here's the deal. We're looking for gospel partners. I'm talking about fired up, sold out, ready to change the world partners. That's where you come in. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Because it could be your support that helps us reach that guy who's about to give up hope, or the girl who thinks she's too far gone. Together, we could do something bigger than ourselves. You can get all of the details right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your reformers. John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation,
was a professor at Oxford in the 1300s who preached against papal authority in matters of doctrine, politics, and church practice. After his death, his bones were dug up, burned, and spread over the river. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of things you ought to do, this is Wretched Radio. Yeah, I know, this is a lame segue, but I've been dying to share this, and this is about the closest and best bridge that I've been able to concoct. You need to be in a local church. You need to be a serving member of a local church. If you can get to church, get to church. I understand if you need online transportation, perhaps distance if you're super remote, or illness, infirmities, then we love internet church for that. But we need to recognize it's not church. It's electronic. You're watching church, but you're not participating in church. If that does not describe you, you've got to get involved. You've got to get involved. It will help you to not be a me monster. It will help you to look outside of yourself. It will also help you to receive help. It's an interesting thing. One of the things that I would like to do at Alpharetta Bible Church is to have a website. I don't know if the church websites, they're certain, I don't know if you know this, but there are softwares for churches that pretty much keep track of everything, whether it is online stuff, people can register for this or that, who's going to bring what for the pot providence. These softwares help you to manage stuff. And I'm wondering if there's a software where individuals can list the comfort that they have received because they're willing to be a comfort to those who are going through the same thing. In other words, so that we can minister to one another. And I was thinking, wouldn't that be great if on the alpharettabiblechurch.org website, it listed, for instance, somebody who has had, oh, here's one that so many people deal with, a miscarriage. Send me an email. We'll talk. Or so that you've got a prodigal child. Send me an email. I'll walk you through it. You're thinking about marrying somebody with a 20-year age gap. We'll talk you through it. And I thought, wouldn't that be great to be a resource so that people would go and just be able to click a button and be comforted with the comfort that others have received? And I thought, I'm not sure that'll work. I think half of it'll work. I think more people will sign up to help, but it is my experience, it's not empirical data, it's my experience that people actually are uncomfortable with being helped. I don't know what it is, but I see it all the time, especially, by the way, with older people who are struggling. I got that. No, please don't. No, I don't want to be an imposition. Please don't. I've got this. And you sense they really need help. What is it inside of us that tends to shun help? That's something I think we all, maybe it's pride. I don't know. I don't need help. I'm an American male. I don't need help. Yeah, you do. And you can get that help in the context of the local church. You maybe are really good at volunteering, but I would ask you the question, are you willing to let somebody in the church use their gift on you? For you, that might be something we all need to cultivate a little bit more. We don't want to become that trendy, oh, I'm just so broken. I'm just so busted. That's what I am. I'm just a Christian mess is all that I am. And we wear it all on our sleeves. I'm not suggesting that. But the church should be the place where we're able to say, y'all, I'm a me monster. And would you please catch me when I'm telling stories about myself? Would you please help me when you see me maybe getting a little bit short with my family? Would you please tag me on whatever it is? That should happen in the context of the local church. You need to be in the local church. And if you don't, you're missing out. And here comes my segue. What we miss when we skip the book of Leviticus. Now, you know why I couldn't find a segue typically to get there, but it's worth considering. This was from knowableword.com. When evaluating the importance of the Bible, we often turn to characters, events, or doctrines. Leviticus doesn't shine in any of those areas. Instead, it asks a really crucial question. And I bring this up not just because I finally get to use this document, but if you struggle, perhaps, with growth in godliness, you want to put some fertilizer on it, here it comes. And I'm not putting a burden on you, putting fertilizer on you. How can a holy God dwell with sinful people? That's what Leviticus seeks to answer. How can a holy God dwell with sinful people? Why will that help you with your sanctification process? Because the higher you see God, the more convicted you are of your sin of omission or commission. And you will strive by the power of the Holy Spirit to chase after, but I think that was a trend too. God chasers. There's another evangelical trend for a bit. You'll desire and you'll see sin as exceedingly sinful. Part of resolving the tension between God's holiness and the people's sinfulness lies in the forgiveness of sin. The phrase that rings throughout chapters 4-6 of Leviticus, and the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. Whoa. And you get to see that and feel that, and it should cause you to look forward and go, hey, there's a priest, once for all sacrifice, it's done. It's Jesus. Of all the books of the Bible, Leviticus uses the word holy the most, 80 times. Leviticus is the leader among books of the Bible for the word alone, 47 times, guilt, 35 times, blood, 65 times. It uses forgive the most in the Old Testament, 10 times, and its use of sin, 93 times, is second only to the Psalms at 111 times. If you've glossed over Leviticus, I know, I get it. It's tougher sledding. You want to feel Christianity? Read Leviticus and think. Don't just, I've got to get 20 more verses done. What's going on? What would that have been like to live in that system? And then think about Jesus. It'll stir your affections, which segues me to Russell Brand. Yep. Somehow in my brain that works. Yesterday we played Russell Brand, being all of the guy talks 100 miles an hour and he's very smart. We're going to trust he's a new believer because he sure seems to understand the gospel. And he was just talking about how he feels Jesus. The presence of Jesus. Now, what that is, I don't know without talking to him. But you know what I'd love to tell Russell? Just be careful. You got to know something, Russell. There's something coming down the pike for you. Those warm fuzzies, they're going to change. They're not going to disappear. They're going to mature. Be careful, new believer. You're excited. You should be. Welcome to the kingdom. You should be thrilled to pieces. And maybe you're just giddy constantly, and that's great. And I say, enjoy that season. But as you mature, as you're in the faith longer, it is natural and it is normal for your affections to mature and to grow past that initial headiness. Don't let that panic you. Don't let that throw you into what happened? I'd love to tell Russell Brand, things are going to change. Don't let that cause discouragement. And I'd encourage you to please send stuff, including articles about the book of Leviticus, to idea@wretched.org or questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Peggy. Todd, what is the difference between meditating on God's word and doing devotions?
Yeah, it depends on how you're doing devotions, which should involve, it should involve thinking on God's word. Don't we already just automatically, that's meditation? No, that's Eastern meditation. That's emptying of the brain. Christian meditation, it is filling the brain. It is thinking about these words. Encourage you to do it. It's a game changer for you. Just spend time with a verse, a parenthetical phrase. Just in Christ. There are two words, in Christ. You are in Christ. In other words, everything that he is, you get. You're in Christ. And you think about it. And you let that warm your heart and grow your affections, which will make its way then from your heart to your hands and feet, and it will promote obedience. that's meditating on the word. Now, devotional, I think, incorporates meditation, certainly, is, I think, should be a part of it. But also that it's devotional, meaning you're devoted to, you're praising in the process. So, for instance, what would a devotion about in Christ look like? You're thinking about in Christ. You're going through your Bible and you're reading all of those prepositional phrases. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking me out of the world and letting me be in you. Thank you for pulling me out of a swamp and giving me everything. Thank you for taking this wayward sheep and setting my feet on the path of righteousness. Thank you for making me in Christ. That's meditating. That's being devotional. So I would challenge you in that regard. How are you doing? Does that aspect of your Christian life exist? Don't want to make a law where there is no law, but why would you want to miss out on that? Sort of like, you know, not being in a local church and reading the book of Leviticus. This is Wretched Radio.